The following thoughts on Hoppy Hour represent Brian Hoppy and Pastit. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoppy Hour.
He's the voice of a generation that got screwed by the baby boomers. Welcome back to Hoppy Hour.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour.
The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Oh my goodness, Alessia. I didn't even know if this show was going to happen.
It's true.
Explain. It is Thursday, December 15th at 12:58 p.m. East Coast time as we record this. And it's a lot of thunder outside. It was madness, and I did not know if we were going to be able to record because the electricity went off for a half a second. But even if it goes off for a half a second during a podcast, then you don't have anything. So I'm very grateful to be here right now. I didn't feel like it was going to happen.
Yeah, seriously. Like, all my plans got canceled today, meetings and tornado warning here in Florida. Pouring rain and flooding on the way over here, but here we are.
So what was the sound of your house like? Are your kids in school right now? Who's at home when this is going off?
Both of my kids are at home right now, sick still. Ryan's getting crazy.
So when that was going off earlier, what was Alessia doing?
What was I doing? I was trying to get my kids fed and me ready for meetings that ended up getting canceled.
So here's what I'm doing. Just got done chilling on the porch and I was out there. Over and over again for about 2 minutes, it kept going with this noise. Over and over again. My little cow bunny cat known as Luna.
I do call Luna a cow. Her name is now Cow because she looks like a cow and she's the softest, thickest cat.
She's so scared of everybody. She's moved like 4 times in the last one apartment by myself and then 2 of my ex.
Oh,
and then now
I'm here.
So she's
been. We can't have a show without talking about one of Ryan's exes, but we're talking about Luna the cat.
No, I'm.
Here we go.
Okay. First of all, I was talking about the fact that she's been around a lot of people in the last 4 years.
Yes, she has. Lots of.
Miss, I never passive aggressively throw shots at my ex-husband on the show.
Never. Never. I would never do such a thing. Anyways, back to your cat.
Yeah.
So. Such a cute cat. I wish you all could see this furball chunk that I call Cow.
She has a chunk. She eats a lot.
She's so cute. So cute. But yeah, our day has been interesting with this weather, and we are happy to be here with you guys. What do you want to talk about, Ryan?
I don't think it's the Christmas season. I don't know what's going on. I can't feel it, Alessia, but there's nothing going on outside that's making me go, oh my God, it's the Christmas season. Like, usually by this time, I will have Mix 100.7 on and I will be listening, which I did listen today, but like, I would be listening more to get the Christmas feeling, and I don't feel it.
I feel like Christmas in Florida never feels like Christmas, at least to me. And then you really have to make conscious efforts to feel Christmassy when you're in a place that doesn't feel like Christmas. And every Christmas movie is set in like a winter New York City setting. And so it just, I have like FOMO. I just feel like I'm missing out on all like the cool Christmas things because we don't live in like a snowy place. But if this weather turned around and we had a Christmas miracle, Ryan, and snow fell from the clouds, how crazy would that be?
It'd be a Christmas miracle that would lead to a lot of car crashes. If this dumb area doesn't know how to merge and doesn't know what a red light is, then how would they be able to drive in snow?
Touche.
They're dumb as hell here. You want to see the epitome of the underarm of society? Go down US 19 at 2 in the afternoon and see any dude in a pickup truck that's going 80, not knowing what he's doing, and his truck has way too many things in the back.
Florida.
Those people, America. FJB. Those type, not that I disagree, those type of people, though, are the ones that always never know how to drive, man. It's crazy.
Always never know how to drive.
Do you know how to drive? Be honest. You don't have to lie.
You know when I'm really bad at driving?
When?
Go-karts. Like if I are like if you go somewhere to like rent them and drive around the track, I am the slowest driver. I can't drive those things. I like purposely go slow and I keep my foot hovering over the brake the whole time. I'm like a baby. But I think I'm a pretty good driver. I think I could focus more. I think I have a heavy foot and I go really fast, and that is also maybe not so great. But
is there a chance, and I'm being dead serious when I say this, having kids, did that make you an immediate better driver because like you have to take care of other things?
Oh my God. I had the most anxiety after having my first and leaving the hospital. And I lived downtown St. Pete, literally blocks from the hospital. And I have never been more anxious driving home in my life. So to answer your question, yes, having kids definitely changed me as a driver.
I don't know. I feel like if it doesn't change you as a driver, then you're not meant to be a mother and you got knocked up on accident.
You know,
I feel like any responsible person that becomes a parent, you immediately change.
The worst part about driving right now is my 2-year-old son. So listen to what he does.
What does he do?
My first never did anything like this, but my 2-year-old, he's behind me, right, in his car seat. And when I'm driving, he goes, he's obsessed with cars and trucks, by the way, just disclaimer. But he goes, Mom, go, go. And he yells at me to go. So if I'm at a red light and I cannot go, he will be yelling at me the whole time the red light is there to go. He's like, go, go. And it's like the most frustrating thing. And so I tried to explain to him. I was like, listen, see the red light? Mommy cannot go. But when that light, let's watch it. See that light? Okay. When that light turns green, then mommy can go. Okay. But like, it's like everywhere we go, he's like, faster, go, go. And he's like yelling at me, the worst backseat driver ever.
You're telling me every reason why condoms are the best.
Happy hour. Happy hour. Hour will be right back.
Oh yeah, this following segment, who should I lead off with? Rich Keeley. He is the best barber in all of the Bay Area. Go to richkbarber.com, sign up for an appointment. I will be going there next week. Hey Rich, I know you're listening. I've been taking care of my hair since then. I've been looking spot on. Yes, Alessia.
Rich, I need to come see you. I tried to cut my child's hair myself, and so I'll be coming in.
Oh, he will make you have the coolest 2-year-old of all time. Not saying he's not cool already, but man, he needs some backseat manners.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
I feel like one of those douchebag shock jocks throwing shots at kids. What's wrong with me?
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Call Hoppy now. 856-49-HOPPY. Tweet at him at Ryan Hoppy Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
856-49-HOPPY. It's 856-494-6773. You can tweet at me at Ryan Hoppy Radio. You can always email me, ryanhoppyradio@gmail.com. Now, for as wild, kind of, and as crazy, kind of, as this show can be, sometimes you have to hit the tough subjects.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Heartbreaking news about a performer beloved by millions. Stephen Boss, the DJ, dancer, and social media star known as Twitch, was found dead today at a Los Angeles hotel. His authentic charm and infectious smile helped bring the Ellen DeGeneres show to life.
It makes me wonder if he was ever happy. It's kind of sad.
Oof.
Because he's dancing around on the show and then he goes and commits suicide. It's horrible. It's depressing.
I think this death specifically is really shaking people up, given the nature of like who he was as a person described by his peers.
Yeah.
And what he did for a living. I think that's what's shocking people the most out of every celebrity death or you know, mainstream news regarding a death like this. I mean, I was so shook yesterday. One, I'm a huge fan and have been following him for years and on social media, but I was so shook yesterday. I was like crying to my family, hugging them, expressing my gratitude. It really put life in perspective. I think death does that, but it's like, wow, for someone so happy and someone whose work is to spread positivity and joy to lead to that point is just, I'm still shocked.
She said in a statement, he was pure love and light. Former First Lady Michelle Obama, who worked with Twitch on her Let's Move initiative, called him an incredible force, someone who radiated kindness and positivity.
That's why I always get freaked up, and this is not about Twitch, but about like a lot of people in the media when they're always on. Always on. You can see the sad person in them. I've worked with a few people that are just always so hyper and happy. And then you hang out with them at a bar and they're complete tools. And you're like, why do you feel like you need to always be on? Why not just be that negative person? Like, at least you're being more genuine. It creeps me out when someone's like, hey, yeah, I'm in radio. Woo! And then you see him at the bar and you're like, bro, you good?
I feel like Twitch was like always posting videos with his wife, always posting skits with his kids at home.
If you looked at the face he had in his last video he ever did with his wife, she's looking all happy and he looked like he was half-assed in it. Like, I would have picked up on it because I'm depressed 24/7, but I could pick up in the video for sure that he was doing it to make his wife happy, but he wasn't there. He wasn't like happy-go-lucky Twitch.
The biggest thing too that I think is going to come of this is when his wife does finally speak out, when she's able to, which could be who knows when, weeks from now. She's probably in deep shock herself, but when she speaks out, maybe there will be some more information brought to light that we, the viewer, are not aware of, because I think the majority of his peers are shocked. I think people can tell nowadays with mental health awareness being more mainstream of a topic than it was. I think people are looking for those signs and reaching out. And now we have the suicide hotline, which is a plus for people to reach out and call and get help that they need. But check in on those that are smiling and check in on those that are sad. This is like really terrible news.
So Pete Davidson has this interview with Charlamagne Tha God. And I played this clip in my old radio job and I'm going to play it here. It's him talking about how he is always depressed. And everything he says, minus the suicidal part, I can relate to. So let's play this.
How often do you still battle with depression?
Oh, I'm always depressed all the time. I have to constantly bring myself out of it. Like, I wake up depressed, but like, I'm like, okay, now I know my steps, because like, you learn from real. Like, now I have to go outside and be in the sun for a little bit, or go for a walk, or like start the day in this way. It's all just programming yourself to trick your brain.
Were you ever suicidal?
Yeah, all the time. But I can't, because I got a mom and a sister and like a family. So like, I've always been suicidal, but I've never had like the balls, you know, which I'm very lucky. Like, for the first time, maybe like when I went away this time, I felt like I had maybe almost the balls, because it's starting to get like, you know, when you're not feeling good and you're going through all this stuff and there's like people at your house in Staten Island, it just like really drives you fucking crazy. But like, yeah, but like they're not as like constant as it used to be.
Everything but the suicidal part, I have never related to a celebrity in general. I relate to Pete Davidson in so many ways, but in that way too, it's spot on.
100%. No, I completely agree. When I moved back from Spain this year, I hit an all-time low personally.
America's depressing.
I was about to say too. Every show I have to compare, but I do think, I'm not saying suicide doesn't happen worldwide, but I do think the pressure here in the U.S., I would love to see some stats on where the numbers lie across the board, country to country. I think America's probably at the top, and I think it's the pressure, the economy, the lifestyle. Again,
lack of leadership.
This rat race of like constantly trying to keep up, the pressure, And it's not just from a celebrity standpoint. This is like everyday Americans feeling this. I think mental health is on the rise and it's hard. It's hard for people. I think the majority of people are depressed. Like Pete Davidson said, he wakes up and he has to make a conscious effort to be like, all right, I'm moving forward with the day. And it's hard.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
The thing that I find fascinating is you have men that want to talk about it. And for all the men that want to talk about it, you'll have some macho guy go, oh, and it's always the ones that drive the Hummers that think they need maximum condoms. Oh, I need the large size. You're a pussy. You shouldn't talk about it and man up. That might be the worst thing to ever tell anybody. Just man up and deal with it. Shut up.
100%. There's a book I've been listening to. It is called Man Enough by Justin Baldoni. I have the Audible and the physical book. Oh my gosh. Shout out to you, Justin. Thank you for writing that book. But, it talks about masculinity and, you know, just how men were conditioned with certain mentalities. And that was the common phrase, you know, just man up, don't talk about your emotions. And that wall, thank God, is being broken down and more men are showing their emotions. And they should. And the thing is, personality to personality, it depends who you are and if you're a sharer. These are very deep, you know, topics with a stigma around them, and they're very taboo. And no one's going to come out and just tell everybody, hey, I'm having these deep suicidal thoughts. I'm very depressed. I mean, it depends how open you are as a person, how comfortable you feel sharing that, and also the support system you have and how you think they might handle that information that you're giving to them.
It's literally the five people you're around at all times.
It is. And then it's like, if you don't have a good support system, then you're kind of, it's tough. It's,
yeah.
Then you really feel, you're already feeling down, and then you don't have that support system to come in and pick you back up or to be a shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen to. And then you're feeling worse.
If you don't have a support team, then when you fuck up, it's much harder to fix the fuck up because you don't have people around you to help you. Like in the times that I've fucked up in my life, I've had my uncle, a previous boss, Mike Olivero, who is the OG, and I had my mom and my uncle and Maiko. I had them to help me out. And if I didn't have that, the five people you're around, I would not be where I'm at. I've made some dumb choices. So I'm just saying, there's people that have probably made the same choices as me, but they didn't have a Maiko, an Uncle Kenny, a mom to like help out in your 20s. And that's what I feel bad about is I one time I know this person who's like 22 and she has like three kids and she got pregnant, the first one at 17, and her mom was absolute garbage, like the worst mom ever. And that mom's just reckless, getting knocked up all the time in Newport Richey. And it's like, you have all these people that want to have kids and are not able to have kids. And then you have this imbecile out in Newport Richey just getting pregnant all the time. So this girl I know that's 23 that has three kids that's having a hard time in life, she didn't really choose to be here. And she didn't really know any better, for real. Like, how is she supposed to know better if you're going to have a messy house with a lot of kids because that's what you grew up in. And it goes generation after generation. And it's just kind of sad because it's like,
yeah, if you're not taught, you know, growing up, how to cope with stressful situations, if you're in a house that's chaotic, that's what you're learning. You're learning those tools from the get-go as a child, and then you're growing. And then it's hard as the pressures of life come from career and personal life and all the things, then you are now that adult child still using those tools you learned as a kid, trying to cope with now adult situations, and you're still handling them the same way. And that's when us adults now fall into this depression and anxiety. And the biggest takeaway from what Ryan and I are saying right now is like, community is important. Your support team is important. If it's not your family, that's okay. And nothing's wrong with you. You need to go out. You need to find some solid friends. You need to find somebody you can talk to because it might not be your family.
The thing that's really hard sometimes is if you go out and you're always searching to talk to people and the people don't want to talk to you or they don't have enough time and they can only talk for 15 minutes At the end of the day, all you have is yourself, and you gotta, and this is hard to tell someone that's suicidal or that doesn't like themselves, and they're not gonna wanna listen, and it's tough love, but you gotta figure out how to be alone. It sucks being alone. It's not fun being alone, but you put on a podcast or music, and it's easier said than done, because I'm not suicidal, because I take Klonopin. But I'm just saying, like, for some people, like, let's say Twitch, I couldn't just tell Twitch, hey, man, just learn to be alone, you know, because that's selfish. And if the, as Ben Swig used to say at 102.5 The Bone, if the queen had balls, she'd be the king. It's the same thing there. If Twitch's mind was a little bit better, he wouldn't have taken his own life. So it's easy for me to sit here and go, oh, just be alone. But you got to kind of figure out how to be alone.
Yeah, but being alone, when, yeah, you have to healthily be alone, because if you're alone and then you're stuck in those thoughts, you know, then it's just a downward spiral, which oftentimes does lead to suicide. When it comes to Twitch, my heart is broken as just a fan. I feel like so many people feel like this today. This is really big news, again, especially coming from someone in his industry with this background, with so many peers speaking so highly of him. I mean, people just radiate their love and their light, and he's one of those people where it radiates off him, his genuine nature and his spirit. And that is what is so soul crushing in this, because if it can happen to him, I think a lot of us are fearful, like, wow, then it can definitely happen to me. I can get to that mental space.
Well, the thing that's depressing too, is you think about the fact that his family, Christmas will never be the same, and he has young kids, so they're never going to enjoy the joy of Christmas. For example, not making it about me, my dad died of cancer 8 years ago. He died the day before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving hasn't been the same, but it's not been awful, because my dad died naturally. He died of cancer. It unfortunately beat his body, but he didn't off himself. The thing is, the wife, the kids, everybody, they're going to, Christmas will never be the same, because it wasn't like Twitch died of cancer. There's going to be a lot of guilt, and that is, I feel really bad.
That's a great point. It's like the cause of death is a huge factor, but I know grief around the holidays in general is huge. I've been talking to so many friends about this. We have family members that have passed this last year, my father-in-law, my grandfather, and it's extremely, extremely hard moving forward with the holiday. And I talked to a friend at pickleball the other day who lost a brother to suicide, and she was saying, you know, you each holiday you kind of, you know, move forward, but grief just changes as you grow. It never really goes away. It never really heals completely. And I believe that. And for his family, you're right. The fact that it's suicide and not cancer is, it's like a mental, that's hard. That's hard to mentally process.
And what's creepy is when you look back at the old social media posts from the last week and you see that his eyes weren't all there. It was like,
did you notice? I didn't see that. See, I went back to
look.
You
got to look at how happy her eyes are and how he's like faking it. The last dance video they put up is eerie. It reminds me of when, I forget his name, but this show is very fast paced. The lead singer of Linkin Park, when he killed himself 5 years ago, and he had a selfie with his then wife and his kids, and they're all posing at the beach. And they're in like a little like balcony area and are taking a selfie, and everybody looks happy. And then Bennington, I think his name was, he was like forcing the smile. It's always weird when these famous people, you have the same ones with Chris Cornell, when they post their last few pictures and knowing afterwards, it might be overthinking, but it's not. You look at it.
It's in the eyes for sure. You have a point there. And then the other point you made was that they're on vacation. You know, this Linkin Park lead singer is on vacation with his family. And a lot of times, again, people, we say this all the time, but on social media, you see the photos, they're on vacation, you assume it's happy, but you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. And that goes for all of us. No one knows the struggles we walk through.
Also, you need to reformat your brain. If you look at vacation photos and you think that was a perfect vacation, a vacation photo is nothing more than maybe 20 attempts, because someone's got to do, and this is not an example, this is just what I've seen, I swear to God. But the younger daughter's got to get the makeup right, the older son's frowning, the wife's, and the perfect family photo took a lot of work, and that any vacation, especially when you're a teenager, you got hormones and you want to go out and you don't want to be around your family. So a lot of times, if you're jealous of somebody that's on vacation, just know that there is a grind to vacationing.
I will say too, last year, having traveled with my two children and my co-parent through Europe, we spent the last year traveling. You know, I can't tell you how many times we had to, you know, I was like, oh, we need a better photo, guys. Or like, yeah, we're fighting and arguing before we snap our smile. Like, yes, that is the candid reality of like parenting and traveling with children and just lives in general. Like, not every picture is a happy moment. We want to capture that. But if my social media reflected true life, it would be like screaming children.
Mine would be scary. Like
pillows being thrown at each other. And it would not be the same.
Mine would be me holding Luna during a panic attack going, hi, I'm going to bother you right now.
Luna's the most bestest comfort buddy ever.
She is not. She's barely my comfort buddy, and she's my comfort buddy. I rent her for about 5 minutes, and then she runs off when I'm about to go to bed. I'll hold her, and she's like, I will make the human happy, and then he'll fall asleep, and I'll run around. And it's literally what she does. She loves to sleep by my feet. You see those little cushions by the couch back there?
Yeah.
She'll sleep on top of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is that even comfy? Cats are bizarre in that way. They always like sleep in the most uncomfortable positions. Like, you good, bro?
I will say something going back to not Luna. I'm so sorry. Ryan, my mind drifted.
You're good.
Have you ever called the suicide hotline number?
No.
Okay. So I actually called it. And it is not helpful. And that is something that scares me as someone who was formerly depressed going through something like this. When you call, it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like sterile. Like, you're not getting emotion from the person on the other end. I think I called expecting like some emotion, but they have to go through their procedure of asking you certain questions when you call in and collecting certain information.
Why? Just shoot the shit and exactly. Get the person to just talk.
I think the program, even if you're not depressed, just for the sake of calling, give it a call and see what it's like. Just to see the format of like what someone might be going through, because a lot of people on social media right now are posting, hey, here's the hotline number, call the suicide prevention hotline number. And it's like, has anyone actually called it? Well, I am speaking from someone who has actually called it in a moment of feeling very down, and it has not helped me. It actually turned me off more. It's not personal. And it, like I said, it's very step by step, and you feel like you're talking to a secretary who needs to collect your information for an appointment, and you feel worse. And like you said, Ryan, I wish it was like you called and you were shooting the shit with someone and you could just vent and cry and have this voice on the other end comfort you, but it's not like that. So I want people to understand too, that maybe directing people there, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I definitely think they should call. That's why it's there. But you have to kind of have an expectation of what you're going to get when you do call. You're not going to get this comfort buddy.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I mean, we should just call later just to check it out again.
I don't but want them to think I'm suicidal system. And lock me up. I'm good. I don't need that. I have never been suicidal, but even if I was, I wouldn't tell anybody because I would never do it. And I don't want that vibe out there.
I think like, yeah, again, like we said before, there's a stigma. The second, you know, we're telling people, be open, talk to people if you get to that place. But then we have this fear of like, holy crap, I don't want this person to judge me and view me less than. And as people, we do. This is coming from someone who has been depressed before. And friends have come to me sharing their depression. And in a weird way, like I try not to, but there is this like judgment there, you know, like we expect everybody to be strong and independent and work. We admire people that work through their mental hangups and the things they go through in life. We admire those who are so strong. And then there's like, you know, this stigma again, when someone's not, that they're less than. We have that view, right?
No, you're blowing my mind. I can't believe that the suicide hotline sucks. That took a while to say. I am so surprised. I thought it was going to be elite.
Yeah, no, I mean, in my opinion, I think it needs some revamping. I'm not someone who's an expert. I haven't called a ton of times, but I did call once and I felt like it was just not helpful. I even think I ended up hanging up because I was just so over it, and I can't even say I got a call back, which is even scarier. But I'm still here, thank goodness. But going back to suicide, I mean, it's like we will never know someone's mind. Even his wife in a relationship with him as close-knit as their family is. It's like, did she know something was happening? She ran to the cops. She went into the LAPD police station. She expressed like, hey, something's off. My husband left the house without his car, which to me, something had to have happened before. That's why I'm hoping she comes forward and like speaks more about maybe situations we don't know about.
856-49-HOPPY. That's 856-494-6773. You can tweet at me at Ryan Hoppy Radio. You can always email me, ryanhoppyradio@gmail.com. Before we go to break, do you have any final thoughts you want to recap with?
RIP to Twitch. I'm shocked, and you know, sending love to his family. For anyone listening to Hoppy Hour, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And reach out to us if you want to chat about anything. And we're wishing you all well.
856-49-HOPPY.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour.
Hoppy Hour will be right back.
This following segment is brought to you by Amir Academy of Martial Arts. Now, that's the perfect solution for mental health.
I was going to say.
Punch the hell out of a bag and lift and my God.
Getting fit is good for your mental health. I think Amir is the perfect person to shout out right now.
I'm going tomorrow. AmirAcademy.com. He is in St. Petersburg. He's got women's self-defense, kids classes. If you want to be an MMA fighter, he's got that. He's got normal workouts. He's got a gym. He's always got a UFC fight on, even if it's 20 years old. So you're always pumped up. Like when you go to the gym, like Fox News will be on and, oh my God, Tucker Carlson. What a motivator to work out.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour.
He's a real see you next Tuesday.
Call Hoppy now. 856-49-HOPPY. Tweet at him at Ryan Hoppy Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
So this next headline, Alessia, isn't really about the headline that I'm going to play. Like, when I'm playing it, I'm not playing it because I want to talk about what's in the headline. It's what's in the first 20 seconds of the headline. We are moving backwards. We are not moving into the future.
Whoa! Hoppy Hot Topic!
And it's about the way we consume TV.
Show that seems to have everyone buzzing, the hit series White Lotus. In an era of binging, there's a new episode every Sunday for this show, and it is bringing back appointment viewing with big results. Chris.
Oh, that's totally what I want. Is I want to have to wait a fucking week to watch a show. You know why they did that?
Why?
Because with Ozark,
they all these shows. The suspense. I hate when they do that. Everyone's talking about White Lotus. I feel like the only person that has not watched it.
Okay, so here's what it is. It is people were watching it in a day, any show they wanted, and then probably unsubscribing. So it keeps you around longer if they release it week by week.
True.
Because if there's 10 episodes, that's going to be 3 months. So that's $42 you'll get.
Common sense. That makes sense.
That's all it is.
I mean, from their business standpoint, they had to do it that way.
White Lotus, I watched it last year. It was solid. It was okay. It's about just crazy things that happen at like a vacation resort. And like the one husband begins hooking up with a transgender hooker. The wife cheats on him. Oops, spoiler alert. Daughter begins hooking up with another girl there. The other husband's having a midlife crisis. The other woman throws her mom's ashes all over the water. And it's just crazy things that are happening on vacation. It was... It was funny. I watched it before I went on a vacation, and then I went to a Universal Resort in July, and the White Lotus culture is a real thing. Like that awkward family vacation, that's a real vibe. That's a real thing. I was like just observing.
I know everything about awkward family vacations. That's like story of my life.
You are the queen of it.
Connolly has more. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning to you, Eva. And that's right. A season's worth of simmering tension, secrets, and interpersonal intrigue about to be brought to a full boil on Sunday.
When they go to Alessia's house.
Funny.
I'm kidding. 856-49-HOPPY.
I will say, you know, playing off last episode, someone from Hinge was telling me about White Lotus.
Wait. Who cares about... Oh, White Lotus is bringing back appointment TV. Riveting television by Good Morning America. For 3 minutes and 38 seconds, they talk about how great of a show it is. It makes me wonder who's sleeping with the creator of the show to get free publicity. That doesn't matter. No one cares. If you want to watch White Lotus, go to HBO Max. Good for you. That doesn't matter right now. I don't matter right now. None of us matter. But what matters right now? Alessia Calandra, right?
Yep.
You're on Hinge? How the hell that going?
I'm on Hinge because
I wasn't sure if you were going to do it, though.
Yeah. So last episode, we were talking about dating, and Ryan encouraged me to download Hinge. And yes, I would love to give my feedback on the app.
The floor is yours.
Okay. So I downloaded it Tuesday. It is Thursday. I'm a whole day and a half, 2 days in. And I will say it's interesting. I have had a few matches. Ironically, a lot of them are the same name as my ex, which I'm like, this is just the universe playing tricks on me. Why do I keep matching with people that have the same name as him? But I will say, looking at the men's profiles, I am so blown away with like how deep some of the men are and like how raw and real their answers are. Like I was expecting men, and there have been for sure, that are just kind of like looking for a hookup, and it's very obvious from their page. But then I had some guys that are like, I'm looking for growth mindset. I'm looking for a long-term relationship. Like I'm looking for the one. And I'm like, wow, men think like this? This is so bizarre to me.
I would say 50% of the people that put that up think that, and you got to really be careful because 50% of them might say that. I shouldn't scare you.
Do you think
everything's going well?
Everything. Well, you know, I have no dates as of yet. I have a
don't
few matches.
It. You know,
I'm really just looking at it almost like a study standpoint because I'm not even sure I'm ready to date, but to look at it and kind of see what's out there.
It's been 120 months. When do you think you're going to be ready?
Oh my, it's been forever. Yeah.
If it's 10 years, it's 120 months. Here's the thing.
But I took the first step.
And I'm proud of you. And I would say choose wisely who you go on a date with. Not because you have bad taste. Not because of that. But because you only have so much time that you don't want to like get a babysitter and do this and do that.
It's so much more effort with kids, like 100%. This weekend is not my weekend with the kids. And so I...
Date night for Alessia.
I usually fill my schedule with like work, which I do have.
Wow.
But I don't know. Like I'm totally open to it, but you're right. Like I don't want to just meet up with anyone because my time is so limited.
If you're not feeling the vibe of the guy, like you're kind of feeling the vibe, but like, you know, it's not going to be much. Don't go on a date with that person. But if you're really feeling the vibe of this guy, man, oh my God, go out with him.
I think people too just like the swipe because even though I'm matching, not everybody is having conversations. If they are, some of them are dry. They're not, like, it's so much effort to talk to multiple people at the same time. I don't know how people do it.
And it's not because I'm not rich that I'm saying this. When I'm rich, hopefully I won't be on dating apps, but I will say this. And I can only speak for heterosexual men. I think that the woke term is cis male or whatever. If a woman on a dating app asks about money, if you don't have that money, just bye-bye. She's asking if she can get a free meal to Burns. She is asking if she can get
what's the etiquette now, Ryan, since I haven't been on a date in a minute.
True love does not equate to money.
No, but I'm saying, like, if we went out for dinner, yes, would you expect me to split the check? Would you expect me to, like, pick it up? Would you pick it up? Like, what?
I think that should be discussed early on. But gentlemen, if she's like, how much money do you make? Trust me on this.
But would you pick up the tab on the first date?
Run away. Like, she never was there. Unmatch with her. Yes, Alessia, what?
Would you pick up the tab on the first date?
I have, but you got to also remember that it's a first. Oops, it's going off. Because it was on a YouTube playlist. Let's see what the rest of this is. If you ever wanted to know what my brain is like, it's that. I think okay, you I should do. I think you should do the humble thing of not having the first date be something classy.
But you also said girls shouldn't call men out and, like, be gold diggers. But I saw so many guys on Hinge that are like, hey, look at my Bentley. Look at my nice condo. Look at
they're going to cheat on you with
nine other women. The funniest one.
Tell me.
A guy laying there with stacks of money on his body. I wish I screenshotted this for you. I swear to God, that was one of the guys I was like, this is not real right now. He's basically laying there like, okay, guys, so here I am. This is my ad. You can have money if you want me. People are like getting really crazy on there.
You missed the one-liner I said. Said, was his name Andrew Tate? Do you not know who Andrew Tate is?
I don't. Okay. Who is Andrew Tate? Am I really
some of what Andrew Tate says, some of what he says is good. Some of what he says is not good.
What you can't do is devalue yourself or your attention in any way.
True.
What happens now in the modern world is that men's attention no longer has value. In the 1950s and 60s, if a girl got the attention of a good-looking guy, it meant something. Because how many times can she get the attention of a good-looking guy? She walks down the street, whatever. In the world of Instagram and Facebook and social media, a girl's getting blown up. So what does your attention have? Your attention has no value.
It's videos like that. Like, that's pretty spot on. But then he'll say things that, like, they cut it up for 20 seconds on TikTok, and it'll be something sexist. Like, I'm not going to front. Right. It'll be something sexist, but that's a 7-minute video, and maybe 40 seconds of it is sexist, and the rest of it makes sense. And people will be like, oh, cancel Andrew Tate. And they're like, but he's also helping out men. It's a weird thing, because some of what he says about, like, the 50s, but then, like,
men need all the help they can get. And if you're listening and you're a man, please look up Justin Baldoni on Instagram. He is my new favorite human being, because he is redefining masculinity.
Oh,
and
God.
He's the best. I will back him 100%. I have given his books to people I know. He just is, like, trying to break down the masculine barrier.
Our next guest can do a little bit of everything. You know, Justin Baldoni, I was just talking about his role on Jane the Virgin, and he stays busy behind the camera as well, directing films like 5 Feet Apart.
Well, Justin is also leading this discussion on modern masculinity. He's got a podcast. It's called Man Enough, and he has a memoir of the same.
And I love avocado toast.
Name. Well, now he's out with a new book. And it's a new book with life lessons for boys and teenagers especially. It's called Boys Will Be Human, a Get Real Gut Check Guide to Becoming the Strongest, Kindest, Bravest Person You Can Be. Justin, good morning to you. And we were just sitting here talking as a mother and father to young children. This seems like a perfect book. Why do people, boys and girls, parents as well, why do they need this book right now, in this moment?
Oh, because life is hard. And it's hard to be a young boy. It's hard to be a boy going through puberty.
No, tell me about not. Ryan.
What?
Justin's the best. This is
with
why.
Your body changing and testosterone filling you and
he's
starting
good.
To think about sex and all the things you start to think about and not having anybody to talk to, you know.
Sex really is the root of all evil, isn't it?
I think so. I think that I just think man or woman, we're living in some interesting times. And with dating, it's blowing my mind. I did consider deleting Hinge already, but I'm on it again more for a social experiment than I am.
You're going to find your future husband on there.
Oh my God. I hope not. I hope I have a cooler story.
Heaven forbid you find someone to spend the rest of your life with. Do you want to be a single Catwoman the rest of your life?
I would be fine with it.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
Happy Hour will be right back.
This following segment's been brought to you by WestchaseProinting.com. If you're listening to my podcast after getting one of my business cards, yeah, they are the ones that printed that. Have you seen that banner that I'm going to put up that I keep saying I'm going to put up? Yeah, WestchaseProinting.com made that. This is also being brought to you by FitSageFitness.net. And the nap I'm going to take later on, which is at night.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.
It's time to turn Hoppy on, RyanHoppyRadio.com. Listen to Hoppy Hour at any time, anywhere. Search Hoppy Radio on all major streaming platforms.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Wow! Hoppy Hot Topic!
Well, let's move now to a headline-making vote on Capitol Hill. The Senate passing a bill to ban the popular TikTok app from all government-issued phones and devices.
Why didn't they do that before? They're taking all your info. I bet TikTok has everything.
Oh, for sure. I read the article that they literally, they know everything about you. They know the type of phone you have. They know your location. They can read your swipes, like your text messages. Like,
hell yeah.
Every word you've ever typed on your phone, like they have access to. Yeah, it's pretty wild. But we knew this and we talked about the social dilemma a few episodes ago and how we watched that on Netflix and we're, you know, just mortified by social media. It's nothing different.
I don't care. I have nothing to hide. I go on porn right before I go to bed, and I text my boss during the day and other people. Hey, are you good to work tomorrow? Hey, my name is Ryan Hoppy, and I'm the executive producer of Pat and Aaron on 95.3 WDAE. We were wondering if you'd want to come in tomorrow for an interview. That's what I got to hide. Also, listen to Pat and Aaron every morning from 6 to 9 on 95.3.
This is one lawmaker saying the platform is a major security risk. NBC senior Washington correspondent Hallie.
Oh, it's the safest app. It's the safest app ever. Thank you for that riveting update. I had no idea that it was a dangerous app.
Maker saying the platform is a major security risk. NBC senior Washington correspondent Hallie Jackson has more. So, Hallie, what's the government most concerned about here?
A lot of things.
So lawmakers are really worried about the fact that TikTok is owned by a Chinese parent company called ByteDance. That is the origin of all of these concerns about security, which, by the way, are shared not just by some lawmakers, but the director of the FBI, for example, the director of national intelligence have come out and talked about this as well. TikTok has pushed back on this, saying that user data is from Americans is not stored in China. And in a statement to NBC about this bill that's passed.
Oh, well, it's not in China. It's in America.
I know that the Chinese are monitoring their citizens, though.
But did you hear what they said? That it's not in China. They're not saying they don't have our info. They're just saying it's not in China. You know what I'm saying? Listen to this. They lied. It's like, oh, but the Chinese don't have it. The American headquarters has it. Listen.
From Americans is not stored in China. And it's in a statement to NBC about this bill that's passed.
Yeah, it's somewhere else, but it's not in China.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And also the Chinese government, right? They're doing their citizen scans and ranking their citizens based on a number of different criteria, but some of them being just like how often they go out, what times of day they go out, and they get ranked by how good of a citizen they are. And your score is completely bizarre. They do the facial recognition scans and then give each citizen a score. And if you hit a number that's too low, if you fall below a number that's too low for their standards, then you get put on house arrest, which is
sometimes
bizarre.
I am glad I'm going to die, and sometimes I really wish this planet would just explode with the scumbags that's on it. And there is planet Earth. We are all dead. Wouldn't that be amazing when you have all of these other countries on the same planet doing these inhumane things like playing soccer in Qatar? Oh, what a great country that is. Also, I don't believe that soccer analyst, that soccer writer, died of natural causes. I'm sorry. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm not into it. I don't dig it. I think it's the laziest content ever. I could say, my fan over there is spraying chemicals that's making me gay. Like, you can make up anything. But I'm going to tell you that American writer for soccer, you heard about it? Yeah, he didn't die of natural causes. I can tell you that. I have it in every feeling of my heart. You're going to believe a country that doesn't know how to treat women and humans? You're telling me they're going to tell the truth about how an American visiting?
No, I completely agree. And I wish I didn't blank on this title, but recently something came out where like the top four engineers of something were all mysteriously killed.
Oops.
Like out of nowhere, they just dropped dead. And
there's no
all,
coincidence there.
Nope, no coincidence. I'll have to pull up that article later, but it like blows my mind that this happens so often. And you know, it's just people are naive. Like, can this really happen? Yes, it does happen. People.
So before Elon Musk bought Twitter, I applied to be verified. I didn't get it, and I went, okay. Before, when you were verified on Twitter, it was like you either got applied or your company got you. Either you applied and then you got approved, or your company would get you approved and you would get the blue check mark. Now you pay $8 a month and you can be verified. And now
any
it's
way to make more money.
Yes, but it is the saddest thing. And there are some people I really like that paid for it. And I'm like, you literally could have got a rotisserie chicken for that price. Like, you could have got like two like tanks of gas for that. Like, really? You want to be verified on Twitter? Oh, wow, that's going to really prevent you from dying.
In today's Tech Bytes, Twitter's subscription service is relaunching. Twitter Blue returns today, offering subscribers a blue check mark as well as other features.
You're pretty much telling me that you're not cool enough to be unverified and that this blue check mark is going to make you feel so much better. Also, it doesn't make any sense because when it was a blue check mark, if somebody broke the news, then I would go, okay, they work for CNN. Even if it was an editor in the department, anybody that was verified, if you saw that it was CNN or any of those sites, and I'm not going down the fake news department route, but literally now it's like you click on it and it's like, this person subscribed to Twitter Blue. And you're like, and not everybody knows that. So then you had like a fake LeBron James saying that he was retiring and people ran with it. I'm like, you're all idiots. All of you.
Would I pay to be verified? Nah, probably not.
For getting the check mark, accounts will be reviewed to prevent impersonators. The service costs $8 a month.
Oh, they're going to have a team review it to make sure there's no impersonators. Even though that already happened with somebody pretending to be LeBron, literally one of the most famous athletes of all time. You know who LeBron is?
Of course I know who LeBron is. My ex-boyfriend. Just kidding.
Here's the thing, though. Oh, he's never had side chicks. Not that you'd be a side chick, though. You're a relationship girl. You want to see the side chicks that bang athletes? Just go to Ybor City on a Friday night.
Oh, my God. Really? You think?
Oh, yeah. Why they not? Reek of daddy issues.
I would never
approval.
Go to Ybor.
Exactly. You're not a side chick. Those are the people that will ruin your life. Oh, it was a good 25 minutes. Totally worth ruining my marriage. I've never seen cheating before. Yes, Alessia?
Oh, what was I going to say? Ybor City's weird. It has some bad vibes. Like, I think it's haunted, and I think that, like, the devil lives there. Like, if the devil has a home, it's Ybor City.
You ever met the Ybor City shoe licker?
No.
He's an amazing man.
I went to Castle once, and I'm freaked out, and I will never go
again. Of course you're freaked out. You went to the Castle.
Yeah,
it's the midlife crisis capital of Tampa.
It was creepy.
I want to feel different. So I'm going to get in spandex, and I'm going to get whipped. You're weird, man. You're weird.
It was really weird. They had some weird videos.
I'm saying you're weird for going. Why would you go?
No, like my friend was visiting from Orlando. This was years ago and was like, can you meet me out? And I was like, why the hell is she in Ybor? And ew, but I wanted to see my friend and I met up with her and I was like, this is the weirdest shit ever. and I'm never going out again.
So you haven't gone out and had fun because of the castle. Like, the castle ruined it so much for you that you haven't gone out. That's pretty much what you're saying, is that the castle was so damaging, which I've heard.
Yeah, no, that place was weird. I don't like going out. Everything's like, I need to find my scene. I think I've outgrown my old hangout.
I've been looking for my scene for 29 years.
The clock is ticking for Apple, now facing a 2-year deadline to switch the iPhone over to USB-C.
That's just them making money.
The European Union is giving manufacturers until December 27th of 2024 to make the change to their data and charging ports.
I'm not trying to manifest it, but I'm just waiting for my 2-year-old Apple phone to quit working. Every 2 years, it comes a knocking.
Isn't that funny how that happens? You spend so much money on every new phone. Even my Mac laptop. Like, seriously, I can't. It's like 3 years old and it's done. Like, the keys don't even work and they type multiple letters at the same time. And I'm like, why? Why does this happen every time? Like, back in the day, things used to last so long. My grandmother still has things from when she was a child that are in great condition, and nothing is made like that now. Things are so expensive. And then, like you said, your phone just magically goes poof in like a year and a half, 2 years. And then there's an upgrade. There's a new phone that comes out.
Speaking of an upgrade, Dua Lipa was dating Trevor Noah. I bet he was always so funny and on. Because when I think of someone that totally did well in America, I think of Trevor Noah. Well, now she's dating Jack Harlow.
That's Jack Harlow's hit track named after Dua Lipa. And now it seems the rapper may have manifested doing more with Dua than a feature.
He had a song called Dua Lipa, Dua Lipa, Dua Lipa.
Really? And
yeah, it was a good song, but I couldn't play the beginning part of the video because of copyright, copyright, copyright.
With a source telling ET, they have a good connection.
Jack Harlow is the greatest of all time. You want to know why he's the greatest of all time?
Hate life right now.
He's a good rapper. He's likable. But you know why he's smart?
Please.
Any girl he hooks up with, before they have intercourse, she must sign an NDA.
That's like every celebrity.
Not every. Some of them come out though. Like, you'll see selfies of them laying in bed with a woman. It's a lot of times it's like football players. Antonio Brown. I'm just saying, not everybody is.
There was a girl I knew from years ago, and she was hanging out with Justin Bieber and was like, yeah, I had to sign, you know, a non-disclosure agreement.
Smart.
And he had like 6 girls in bed with him at once.
Hell yeah.
No, Ryan, not hell yeah. This is why men are messed up in the head, and I'm sending you that book. I'm sending you that book, Man Enough. Everyone needs to change their mentality. I'm over it. Why
heaven forbid men have dreams.
Oh, whatever.
God, could you imagine having that many women in your bed? You're like, oh my God. Can we have peace and quiet for 5 minutes?
Guys are gross.
Oh, women are not gross at all. I was a janitor at a gym 7 years ago. Trust me, women. You ain't perfect either.
I think I'm playing it cool.
The source opens up about their budding romance, explaining, quote, Jack and Dua are hanging out and seeing where things go.
We know where things have been going.
He was a fan at first, and once he met her and got to know her, he liked her even more. The source notes that Dua is totally his type, and he thinks she's extremely talented.
No, what's he going to say? I think you're average. I just want to bang you. Like, of course he's going to say she's talented. And I'm not saying she's not talented.
And it was the most obvious statement. They hung out. And as they hung out, he got to like her more.
I wonder what the news clip would be about Happy Hour co-host Alessia Calandra now has a boyfriend.
Oh my God. The day that happened, it would never happen. I'm done. I hate men and sorry.
Why do you hate men?
No.
Not every man is your ex.
No.
You only have one. There's only one version of him.
I don't hate him. I think he's a great human being.
He obviously didn't leave you damaged at all.
Oh my God. I'm not damaged.
You're not.
No, life is too, no, it's too much work.
That is the quote of the show. I think it's like,
Yeah, aggression.
This vibe is just because of the clouds, man. It is cloudy that we're recording today. I'm just driving down the block. I'm like, oh my God, it's cloudy out. I didn't move to Florida for clouds. That's why I left Cleveland.
And yet we want snow for Christmas.
Yeah. All the Cleveland people that get offended when I make fun of their city. Oh, yeah, you guys, if it's so great, why are you living there? Well, sometimes you're a trust fund baby who's visiting and then you run out of money. I wonder who I'm talking about. 856-49-HOPPY.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost three times a year. This guy has at least two DUIs. The flats look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. Buy a house for the price of a VCR. Our main export is crippling depression.
Oh my God, that...
That perch dirty.
It could be worse though, at least we're not Detroit.
Okay, yeah, that looks...
I love when they say we're not Detroit, like, oh no, but we're so attractive of a city.
That looked atrocious.
That's the city of Cleveland.
That does not make me want to go to Cleveland. That actually is compared, like I compare what I just saw to Hinge dating men.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
And like that, he's gone.
Happy hour is now over. Happy hour is now over. Happy hour is now over.